David Pasco, candidate for South Carolina Attorney General. He's the first circuit solicitor representing Dorchester, Calhoun, and Orangeburg counties. Mr. Pasco, thanks for spending a little time with us here this morning.
Good morning. I appreciate you having me on this morning.
Yeah, and I appreciate you spending a little time with us here today to speak with our listeners across Horry, Georgetown counties, and wherever they may be listening on the mobile app or through our website at WRNN.net. For those who might not be familiar with you in our parts of the state, just give us a little backdrop in terms of your background, your qualifications, and why you decided to jump into the race for the Attorney General's office next year.
Absolutely. Thank you. My name again, David Pasco. I've been a prosecutor now for 32 years. For the last 21 years, I've been the elected solicitor for the First Judicial Circuit, which is Orangeburg, Calhoun, and Dorchester counties. I was the state's special prosecutor back during the State House corruption probe, which is without a doubt the most challenging days of my prosecutorial career. But during that probe, we issued a grand jury report that outlined the corruption in Columbia. I took down the Speaker of the House, the President pro tem of the Senate, two majority leaders, and I sent the former Judiciary Chairman to prison. I wanted to go further because I think we all know that corruption runs deep in our state, particularly in Columbia. But the Supreme Court told me I had to stop because they said I wasn't the Attorney General. So I've decided to do something about that. I'm running for Attorney General so I can go back to Columbia and finish the job I started, because the reason I'm running is corruption, crime, and I want to protect our children better. Those are the three reasons. With number one, the low-hanging fruit for me, honestly, is going after corruption up at the State House and at local government.
Hey, Mr. Pasco, do you feel like corruption, I won't say runs rabid, but the fact that we have so many people who are entrenched in the system for far too long that, as they say, absolute power corrupts absolutely, and there are no safeguards or rails to hold these people to account, which allows that sort of behavior to happen, whether it be within the State House, the Senate, or these different agencies or elsewhere across South Carolina?
Yes, and the short answer is absolutely. And I believe that the Attorney General's job, my main primary job, will be to be where corruption needs an adversary. And that's exactly where I'm going to be. I want to take on that culture of corruption in Columbia, where we have legislators profiting from their position. And I'm going to end that on day one. I'm going to make it impossible for legislators, particularly lawyer legislators, to profit from their positions on day one. And I've seen, and I think you know, you see this too. I mean, I joke sometimes that Horry County may need its own Attorney General with all the problems y'all have. trust me, I will have a lot of focus on Horry County as your Attorney General. You see how it trickles down to local governments. You see it when county councils and town councils violate FOIA laws and sunshine laws. Well, those days are going to come to an end when I'm the Attorney General, because that is going to be another primary focus. I'm going to be proactive in making sure that local governments provide sunshine and not darkness, that they provide transparency. I mean, and you cut me off whenever you want, but I'm going to keep rolling.
No, yeah. Let me ask you, what sort of specific resources within the Attorney General's office will be able to direct specifically to looking into corruption, other sorts of things that are not on the up and up when it comes to the way we do business in government?
Great question. The money's already there for me to establish a public corruption unit made up of at least 9 lawyers and several investigators to proactively look at public officials' statement of economic interests and their campaign disclosure forms to see if they're profiting from their position improperly. Let me give you one example of something I'm going to do on day one. Day one, as Attorney General, right after I get sworn into office, we currently have lawyer legislators that make not just hundreds of thousands of dollars on government contracts called litigation retention agreements, we'll call them government contracts, not just hundreds of thousands of dollars, but millions of dollars. I will fire them on day one. We will not have lawyer legislators making money and putting their hands in the public till anymore when I'm the Attorney General. So that's just one of the things I'm going to do. You mentioned it before I got on the air about how the clerk of court in Colleton County, Becky Hill, just pled. One of the things she pled guilty to was cutting herself checks from her account. We cannot do that as elected officials. Well, guess what? There are other public officials, I believe, doing that same thing, and they haven't been indicted yet. They haven't been investigated yet. If you're writing yourself $29,000 or $30,000 worth of checks out of your personal county account, that's probably a crime. And the PCU, the Public Corruption Unit, will stop that.
Well, with that said, you know, oftentimes the public feels that the punishment does not fit the crime, right? At the end of the day, you know, she came back with the check, paid the money back, apparently, probation, 100 hours of community service. But many people feel like, hey, if that was me, I might be going to jail for quite some time. So how do we, pressure, whether it be the judges or, the judges, essentially, to make sure that whether it be a white-collar crime, political sort of corruption, or violent criminal behavior, that a lot of these people get the time they deserve and are not allowed, particularly when it comes to violent offenders. Many of those who are repeat offenders unallowed to roam the streets to commit more crime against innocent people.
Yeah, I feel your pain on that. I try to get one of those corrupt legislators in prison myself, at least one of them, and the judge refused to do it. So I think that you hit it on the head. The best thing to do is just put public pressure on judges, on prosecutors like myself and others to do the right thing. But I feel your pain on that. As far as repeat violent offenders, that's going to be something I concentrate on, the crime aspect of being attorney general. Because being attorney general, you are the chief prosecutor of every criminal case in South Carolina. And I want to make sure that every solicitor's office has a policy of revoking bonds for anyone who's out on bond and commits another crime. I remember getting in battles with my county council. Oh, Pasco, there are too many people in jail. You need to get them out. And I got to the point where I said, no. If I think they're guilty and there's more than probable cause to convict them, it's not my job to put them back on the streets for y'all. The streets are a lot safer right now.
David Pasco, candidate for South Carolina Attorney General on the Republican side, First Circuit Solicitor representing Dorchester, Calhoun, Orangeburg counties. All right, let me ask you about something that no doubt every interview has probably asked you before. You recently switched political parties. From what you're saying, I don't think it has anything to do with R's and D's, but you were a Democrat. Mm-hmm. You changed your party affiliation. 4 months later, you announced your intentions to run for Attorney General. What went into that decision?
First time I've ever been asked that question, Jeff.
I'm sure they lead off with that question.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You know, and it's what I tell people. I was an elected solicitor for the First Judicial Circuit, which is heavily Democratic. And for years, of course, I've been called a dino, which I was, a Democrat in name only. To their credit, though, when I ran for solicitor, I told them, I said, look, I'm pro-life. I'm pro-capital punishment. Y'all are going to still support me for solicitor. And they did support me because they wanted a law and order prosecutor. So this is what I tell everyone. Just judge me by my fruits. Here's the uncontradicted fact. I dare anybody to give me anything that contradicts this. I have by far the most conservative record of anyone running for attorney general. I have been the one who has been called a MAGA man and had thousands of dollars spent against them calling me a MAGA man. I am the only candidate running for attorney general that's put men on death row. I'm the only one who has sent them to their executioner. I was the first public official as a Democrat who called for the state of South Carolina to bring the firing squad in South Carolina as a means of execution. I was laughed at when I did that. I worked with both sides of the aisle and got that passed 5 years later. I'm the only candidate running for attorney general that's called out lawyer legislators for their cronyism, for the way they pick our judges, for the money they make off their government. If maybe some of your viewers are familiar with Senator Jerry Malloy, who was the most powerful Democrat in the Senate, who blocked every piece of pro-law enforcement, pro-victim legislation in the Senate. Believe it or not, when a Republican ran against him last year, not one Republican in the House or Senate endorsed or supported that Republican. David Pasco endorsed that Republican against the Democrat, and he won by like 70 votes. the Republican did. And I can go on and on and on. But the bottom line is this: judge me by my fruit. You know, I tell people as I say that, and when you look at my record, I'm the most conservative. And I tell people that, of course, I get that from my favorite philosopher who said, that's how you judge that someone's not a wolf in sheep's clothing. That is the biggest lie that my opponents do say about me. I am not a wolf in sheep's clothing. I am a wolf in wolf's clothing. And if you are corrupt, this wolf is coming after you. The first place I'm going is the swamp, and I'm coming after you.
And speaking, of course, of Columbia, and if you are not familiar, we have so many new people that have moved to this area, David, that I would just reference you to this little website called Google and just type in South Carolina Probegate, and you can learn more about his efforts to send influential lawmakers, to prison in connection with corruption, as we kicked off this interview just a few minutes ago with, in terms of his record and some of the things that, he's going to take with him on the campaign trail as to why he should become the next attorney general in our state when all is said and done, the June primary, and then into the November midterm elections in 2026. I know there's been a lot of talk, David Pascoe with us, about judicial reform in our state. Where are we going right, or where do we need to, where are we going wrong with the way we choose judges here in South Carolina?
4 years ago, I sounded the alarm in front of the Greenville Republican Party. Again, me, the Democrat, going to Republican groups to talk about judicial reform while my opponents did nothing. I went to Greenville and called for reform, and I said, this is what we need to do. We've got to take all of the legislators off of the Judicial Merit Selection Committee. There is now a bill that will do that, but here's my concern, and this is where the people need to rally and get mad about it. They got to make sure that their legislators support that bill. I'm pessimistic, and I'm telling the legislators this right now. I don't think you're going to pass it. I think you're putting on a show, dog and pony show, telling us that it might get passed with all these sponsors. Because the bottom line is this: the judiciary chairman, Weston Newton, in the House does not support it. The chairman of the judiciary in the Senate, maybe y'all know him, a guy by the name of Luke Rankin, does not support the bill, and nor does Shane Massey, the majority leader in the Senate. Mm. If they don't support it, it doesn't pass. We have got to rally them, and they're always scared about getting reelected. We have to scare them in to the fact that they will not get reelected if they don't support that bill. Mm. Otherwise, we're going to get the same old cronyism of lawyer legislators picking our judges and then practicing law in front of them.
Hey, one last question I have for you, okay? And thank you for spending so much time with us today. And there's no question, when we move into 2026, we'll get you on more frequently, because you've got no problem answering questions specific to our area, elsewhere around the state, in terms of the problems that you see mainly surrounding corruption, or the fact that the power structure, as you just hinted at, some of those lawmakers you just referenced, they've been in Columbia quite some time. They yield a lot of power. And as you highlighted, no matter how many sponsors, co-sponsors, and support, if the leadership is not in on this, these bills never really see the light of day, do they?
That's right. Nope, they sure don't. Mm. And I just outlined, like, these three guys who've been there a long time and who hold very powerful positions.
Hey, let me ask you just to wrap up, this is a hypothetical into some comments that are being made right now by the current attorney general pertaining to a case specific to our area. Okay, when you talk about how careful you have to be as an elected solicitor and or the attorney general, how careful do you have to be in terms of commenting on specific cases that are in the midst of civil litigation and criminal investigation?
Very. I don't like to do that at all, in fact. I would usually have no comment. Unless I've made a decision on a matter, then I would be transparent and explain to you why I did not go forward on a case. But you do need to be very careful in that regard.
Hey, Mr. Pascoe, please, let's stay in touch. Enjoy the conversation. I think you hit a lot of topics that are relevant to folks out there tuned in here this morning. Obviously, your opponent in the upcoming primary, if next year, at least one of them, the filing period hasn't opened yet, obviously, home to our area and State Senator Stephen Goldfinch. We talk with him often, and we want to speak with you as frequently as possible moving into next year, all right?
I'm always available. I really appreciate you having me on. You guys let me know when you want me back on. I'd love to do it. I had a great time.
Yeah, and thank you for the time. And just to clear the air, by the way, I reached out to him. He got back to us, and then he found my text message or my phone number on the bottom of my email, and he said, we're going to go right to the source, and we're going to text me and get this thing done sooner rather than later in terms of his first appearance with us here on the Hot Talk Morning Show. So we appreciate it. Go ahead.
I'm going to tell you one thing that you might want to hear to your last question. Let's pay real close attention to what that judge does in the civil case in your hypothetical.
Yes, of course.
Real important.
Yeah, right.
I think it can be very embarrassing when that judge finds that there is no stand your ground. So let's watch.
Hey, Mr. Pascoe, thank you for the time this morning, all right?
Thank you. Y'all have a great day, okay?
Yes, sir, and you do as well. First Judicial Circuit Solicitor from Dorchester, Calhoun, Orangeburg County. He's a 2026 candidate for South Carolina Attorney General, and his name is Mr. David Pascoe. Thanks for spending a little time with us here this morning on Hot Talk 99.5.